Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Friday, March 20th, 2020. Oh, so it's, let's say, 03202020.
That's ominous.
But reading from Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2, and Jason, I told you this. I just opened this up. I was just trying to think, what might be a comforting verse? What might be something that could be read or talked about or shared? And just as I opened up my Bible maybe 3 minutes ago and just glanced down, even though there's so many wonderful, encouraging verses, I really like this. Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, I call to you, come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. And probably, Jason, that lifting up of the hands, is that like the act of worship, of surrender, of praising God? I mean, I know you've had zero time to even look at this, but here's the psalmist, Psalm of David. He's calling out to the Lord, come quickly. So there's a sense of immediacy. Hey, I need you. I want you. I want to connect with you right away. You know, hear my voice, kind of a plead when I call to you. But then it's almost like, may my prayer be set before you like incense. So that fragrance, that sweet aroma, that caring, like, I want to connect with you because you are worthy, God. You are righteous. You are lovely. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. I don't know. I think that may hopefully resonate for somebody tuned in right now that's, you know, in the midst of the turmoil, the uncertainty, all the things that we're all talking about of late. And as I continue to see how Christian radio and this ministry can bring hope and encouragement and hopefully cast out fear, this is just another reminder from God's Word that He's in control, that He loves us, that we can pray to Him, that we can worship Him. And then as you and I just finished praying, wow, that God loves us, He created us, He has it under control, there's an eternity before us. How fortunate, how blessed, beyond fortunate, like you say, what's that thing where, not chance, but God's providence, that, you know, He provides and He will provide because He is God and He is in control and nothing is by chance or circumstantial. There's God's providence that takes care of things, and knowing the end from the beginning and our eternity in mind, we can rest in Him. So where do you want to jump in? I've shared 15 different things here.
Well, I mean, you started at the beginning, right? Because David is crying out to God. And he says, O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. So he calls out to the Lord. And you can almost sense the emotion in David's voice, right? I mean, David says, O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. I mean, David's need is urgent here. David is directing his prayer to God. He even says to God, do you hear me? I'm calling on you. And he uses the word Lord, which means Yahweh, the one true God. And he is, in this passage, begging God to come. And not just to come, but he says, hasten to me, which means come now, hurry up. Don't, you know, dilly-dally. Don't even stop for a moment. I need you. And what's really interesting is he says, give ear to my voice when I call to you. And so he's asking God to hear him. He's saying, not just, God, are you going to come? God, are you going to answer my prayer? He's saying, God, listen to my prayer. Listen to my voice. And it reminds me as a parent that we know the voices of our children, the different kinds of voices. We know the dad, dad. Or the dad. You know, the kind of voice that I can think of in different points in my life where my kids have fallen down, they've, you know, crashed their bike, they've cut themselves, and they cry out with a different kind of voice that you run across the yard or the house because you know that they're in need. You can hear it in their voice. And so David is saying to the Lord here, give ear to my voice. Listen to the way my voice sounds. I desperately need you. He says, I desperately need you. I call upon you in desperation. He says, don't just Know that I'm calling. Listen and hear the way in which I call to you. Because I think David believes, David is saying, when you do that, God, you will hasten. You will come quickly because you will hear the desperation in my voice. You will hear the position I'm in and the nature in which I call to you. And then he says, though, but it's not just that. It's not as if David is trying to do that and kind of bend God's arm. He then says in verse 2, let my prayer be counted as incense before you. And so David uses this metaphor, this picture of the smoke and smell as incense, as a representation of his prayer to God. See, his posture of praying is maybe lifting up his hand. He's trying to liken it to the evening sacrifice, which was a gift to God. And it's interesting because Revelation 5:8 says that the prayers of God's people are like an incense. Hebrews 13 tells us that praise is a sacrifice unto God. And so here, David says, I'm in desperation, but that desperation has not overtaken my worship. David calls out upon God in a reverent way. He's not trying to bend God's arm. He calls out to him in a reverent way. He says, my praise is a sacrifice to you in this moment. My prayer is an incense to you. He's tying this all into temple worship. He's tying all into that. Listen, maybe what many people listening right now need to hear is no matter what position you are in, do not allow it to overtake your worship. Do not allow it to overtake where you have placed God in your life, this position of reverence where you look to him alone. Because that is one of the things that a situation like this, as overwhelming as it can be, tends to want to do. It wants to overwhelm us in such a way that we don't look to God, we don't see God, we don't worship God, we don't offer prayer that is like an incense before him. We don't lift our hands up to the evening sacrifice, and then we make excuses and go, well, I just can't pray because I'm overwhelmed and I can't find the words, and I just can't lift my hands up because I'm just so weary, I'm so weak and overburdened by all that's happening. And listen, God says that he is worthy of all of our praise, not some of it, but all of our praise. And David knows that this is a danger, doesn't he? David knows his relationship with God, and he knows the importance of his relationship with God. He knows that it's a danger because then in verse 3 he says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds in the company of men who work iniquity. Let me not eat of their delicacies. He says, listen, Lord, in this moment, I need you to guard my heart. I need you to guard my mouth. I need you to guard my lips because in this moment it is so easy for me to fall in line and begin to say things that don't sound like I'm your child. And I need you, I understand my own weakness, and I need you, Lord, to be my strength. I need you, Lord, to guard me. I need you, Lord, to keep me in this area. And I find this, I was praying yesterday morning with a group of pastors. We get together at 8 a.m. every single day now, and we pray. And we're finding ourselves sounding fearful. We're finding ourselves sounding impatient. We're finding ourselves as we talk, you know, not in our prayers, but as we talk, we're finding ourselves sounding less like what we should be. And then having to repent and go back to God and saying, God, guard our lips. God, guard our hearts, because it's so easy for us to sound hopeless. It's so easy for us to sound as if we don't know that there's a God on the throne and there's nothing that's going to take him off of that throne. And so David understands this, and he prays specifically that God would guard this. And then he says, don't let my heart incline to any evil. And there's a lot of people right now who would say, well, I'm not inclining towards evil. Okay, but are you inclining towards faithfulness? Because every inch, everywhere you inch away from faithfulness, you inch towards evil. And there are shades of gray in this. And so suddenly, listen, you begin to be all about yourself. Well, you know what? I got to isolate myself. I got to keep myself safe. I got to do all this. And subtly, the evil that you perpetuate is that you don't look to your neighbor. You know, doesn't God say in 1 John that anybody who says he loves God but doesn't love his brother is a liar? And so anywhere where we stop looking to others as God would have us look to them, we're proclaiming a kind of evil that has creeped into our lives. We've got to be very careful.
And I like what you mentioned in verse 2. And I should say, as a disclaimer, Jason had no concept whatsoever I would be jumping to here. I just opened up the Bible before we began the program. We prayed it up, and we're diving in. So I'm just wondering, Jason, if you had time to prepare and to really divide this, what you'd be sharing, because it's like, well, you're doing pretty good on the fly. But I love your comment. You know, how oftentimes in the midst of a struggle or trials or tribulations or uncertainty or fear, we stop worshiping. And we're in this verse, too, that David lifts up his hands. And I think that's like a fundamental thing God would have us all be mindful of. Have we lessened our sense of worship, or have we forgotten to worship, or are we just so fearful that we're like, oh, I don't have time to worship. I'm uncertain. I'm fearful. Why worship God? But it's almost like this is the time to most worship Him and lean into Him and acknowledge Him as a good God.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, and I think that I shared this on a past radio program. Maybe I didn't. I've shared it in a number of different places. But, you know, I led that Awana group a number of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, because since this has happened, we haven't had Awana. You know, that's been put on hold as the, you know, there's a limit on the size of people who can gather together. But I asked them, what do they know about the future? And one of the reasons why I asked that was I wanted them to point that everything you think you know about the future, you don't know. You hope, but you don't know. But the one thing you do know about the future is when you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, that you will spend eternity with Him. And it is that kind of fundamental understanding that caused the Apostle Paul to say, whether to live or die, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Christ is all that matters. And it's so easy to look around and to have a creeping kind of sense of hopelessness that robs us of our sense of worship. Instead, we need to be like the Apostle Paul, who says, I know whom I have believed upon, and I am sure, sure as I am, that He can deliver me. And that leads us triumphantly to worship. And you know what the world needs right now? They don't need more pontification. What the world needs right now is God's people who, in the midst of what appears to be absolutely hopeless situations or overwhelming situations, to be those ones who say, I know whom I have believed upon, and I believe that He can deliver me, and I believe He can deliver you, and I can believe He can deliver that. And guess what? If all of us don't make it, in Him death is gain. Mm-hmm. And in that, I think we live differently. We process what the world is doing differently, but we have to acknowledge that we're all human. And in our humanity, it is so easy to be overwhelmed. It's so easy to fall into this place where David is, where David has to pray that God would keep him from these things.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus taught His disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation. That is what David is praying here, because David knows that what is happening in the world around him can easily tempt him to become like the world. Sometimes even in our reactions, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in one of his books that one of the most dangerous things that can happen as we react to evil is to become another kind of evil. And so we have to be very careful. And so David prays that, right? He says, do not let my heart incline to any evil. Do not let me get busy with wicked deeds. Do not let me even keep the company of men who are in iniquity. You know, he says, don't let me do anything, God, that demeans your name and your power and your presence in my life. And then I think David is also praying, let your power and your presence be present in my life for all to see, for everyone to see. And he does, look, if you go to verse 8, it says, but my eyes are towards you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Leave me not defenseless. Keep me from the traps they have laid and the evil and the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. David is saying, Lord, I want to keep my eyes on you. Imagine if Peter, when he got out of the boat, had prayed this prayer. Lord, don't let me see the wind, Lord. Don't let me see the waves, Lord. They want to ensnare me and they want to keep me. Lord, just let me keep my eyes upon you and you alone. That's why Jesus taught his disciples, lead me not into temptation. Why? Because the worst temptation we have is the wind and the waves and all the things that are happening around us that would keep us from where we ought to be, which is worshiping God.
Yeah.
And that is one of the amazing things that I'm seeing in this time. I don't know about all you, the radio listeners, right now, but what I'm seeing is people who are praying more than I've ever seen them pray. I'm seeing people who are worshiping in ways that I've I don't think they even thought that they could worship, you know, through Facebook and through videos and through all different ways. And even though they can't gather together, I see people studying the Bible in ways they haven't done before. I see things happening, and I see acts of kindness popping up that I go, where has that been? You know, in a time where I think 3 weeks ago we would say this, I didn't even think we'd be where we are today 3 weeks ago. But 3 weeks ago, I could also say this, we were more divided than we are today. We were more adversarial and antagonistic to one another than we are today. There is something that is happening in the middle of this where God is redeeming a people for his purposes and for his glory. Hmm. And the worst thing that can happen to those people in the midst of all of this is that they lose their ability to worship God, that they let the tidal wave of what feels like the world wash over them in such a way that they don't go nearer to God, but they run away from him. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. I actually have to, oh, here we go. I have to look for it. Charles Spurgeon says, I have learned to kiss the waves that throw me up against the rock of ages. Hmm. And I love the picture there that Charles Spurgeon says that I've learned to kiss difficulty. I've learned to kiss overwhelming situations. You know why? Because they throw me back into Christ.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Rock of Ages. That might have fallen on some deaf ears, or somebody's like, what's the Rock of Ages? Now, we know through the song and Jesus being the rock, but like you said, and you defined it out, that that's like falling into Jesus, into God's care. He is the Rock of Ages.
Yeah, and this is going to sound revolutionary, but can some of you radio listeners right now stand up and say, thank you, God, not for bringing this heartache and this difficulty upon us, but thank you that in the midst of it, you are drawing us back to yourself for your praise and your glory and your honor.
Yeah.
Like Charles Spurgeon. And this is not something you immediately do. This is something you have to learn to do. Spurgeon says, I have to learn to kiss those situations that throw me back to Christ, because that's where I desperately need to be. And that's where David begins, and he says, that's where I am. And David has learned how to do it, hasn't he? He's learned how to call upon the Lord, to let his worship continue, to not let his prayers stop, to not let his hands be lifted like the evening sacrifice. And we need to do that also, because the worst travesty that could happen in the midst of this is not the stock market. It's not your 401k. It's not the small businesses that are unfortunately going to maybe close or at best have some very difficult times ahead. The worst thing that can happen in the midst of this is you get caught up in the wave that is what's happening in the world and you lose sight of God.
Yeah, it's often during these times that those refining fires not only bring out our true character, but develop us and mold us to be, whether it's more holy or greater ambassadors for him in the days ahead. Are we allowing this trial, this tribulation, to refine us for good and for the future? And I was thinking, I don't know if you posted it on Wednesday or yesterday, but you had you and Molly, you've had a number of posts about praying and praying for things, but you and Molly were praying, and I think you're right. There's probably awakening of the importance of prayer, of praying as a family or praying with friends. And, you know, a week ago, we instituted, if you will, the 7-day prayer challenge, and that's going to be continued another 7 days. But because of so many people staying away, I only came in contact with a few different people where we kind of stopped and paused and prayed. But that's more than I've done in the past, and we'll continue to ask God to give us those divine appointments when maybe we get all caught up in talking about this situation or this crisis, and we remember, hey, let's pause right now and pray about it. Let's get settled. Let's entrust this to God, like David is doing here, calling to God and leaving it in his hands and then turning it into a time of worship and praise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm going to close out with an encouraging song, and I just would pray and trust that God's going to continue to work in unique ways through all of us during this times. Let's be that fragrance of Christ, providing hope and encouragement, and see this as an opportunity to personally grow and develop. Maybe you have more time to read your Bible or take in some other great devotional thoughts that people have penned. Spend time with your family. Maybe it's slowing down or giving more of parts of your life to the Lord. You can't ever go wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember, friends, Jesus has risen. We have the good news to share. We'll close out with Steve Camp, "Revive Us, O Lord." Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.
We have turned from your ways, Lord. Your fruit we cease to bear. We lack the power we once knew in our prayers. Never been